The Justice Appropriations Subcommittee will come to order. Michelle, please call the roll.
Chair Plankin. Chair Plankin, excuse. Vice Chair Fernandez-Barquin.
Here.
Ranking Member Gottlieb.
Here.
Representatives Barnaby, excuse. Beltran.
Here.
Benjamin.
Here.
Byrd.
Here.
Caruso.
Here.
Davis. Fabricio.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Gregory.
Here.
Coster.
Here.
Learned.
Here.
Rayner.
Here.
A quorum is present, Vice Chair Fernandez-Barquin.
Thank you, Michelle. A quorum being present, I want to welcome everyone to the Justice Appropriations Subcommittee. Please make sure that cell phones and other communication devices are turned off or on silent mode. I would also ask that anyone speaking before the subcommittee today please fill out an appearance card and provide it to Michelle. Good afternoon, members. Chair Plankin is unable to be with us today, so I'll be chairing today's meeting in his stead. We hope to have the chairman back for our next subcommittee meeting. Today, we will take up and consider three member bills and then move right to our consent agenda that includes 27 appropriation project bills. As a reminder, if any member wishes to vote no on bills included on the consent agenda, please remember to submit a nay vote consent agenda form with Michelle prior to the vote. Michelle or staff has those forms available if anyone would like to fill one out. Representative Burden, are you ready to present? Representative Burden, you are recognized to explain HB 697.
Thank you, Chair, and good afternoon, committee members. The bill in front of you, HB 697, requires that law enforcement inform a victim of crime of their right to retain legal counsel. Also encourages the Florida Bar to develop a list of attorneys who are willing to provide pro bono legal counseling to victims of crime. As you'll see in the staff analysis, it doesn't really have a fiscal, other than those, apparently there are law enforcement agencies in the state of Florida that are not at this time informing victims, so they would have to add it to the list of information they're already supposed to provide to victims. That is the bill, sir.
Thank you, representatives. Are there any amendments?
No, sir.
Okay. Members, any questions? Yes, Representative Benjamin.
Just so I understand again, so victims of a crime are entitled to an attorney, or we want to mandate that they be entitled to an attorney?
Representative, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Benjamin, they are entitled to retain attorneys. And apparently, it was a surprise to me. Not all victims of crime are aware of that. So, I mean, they're not entitled to have an attorney provided for them, but they may retain attorneys, and we do have apparently a number of victims of crime in the state of Florida who are unaware of that. It is supposed to be information that is provided to them already. If you're a victim of a crime, you should be getting information from the law enforcement agency related to advocates, for example, pertaining to your particular victim status that you have, depending on what the crime is, resources that are available to you. And the intent of this bill is to make sure that the victims are also aware that should they choose, they're well within their rights to retain counsel to represent them.
Yes, Representative, follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And do we know what the attorney that they would get would be doing for them in a criminal setting? Because this, as I understand it, the state represents the people, which means it also represents the victims. So what would a private attorney, what role would a private attorney be in a criminal setting?
Representative.
For a victim.
Thank you, Chair. Well, Representative Benjamin, my understanding is that they can actually represent the person of the victim in the event that there was, here again, not being totally familiar with criminal proceedings, quite frankly, but this is just something that's explained to them. This comes from my partner in the Senate, Senator Burgess, who has experience in the military, and this is common practice in the military, where it's just they are told that in the event you would like to have your personal attorney represent you in proceedings, there's no reason you can't do that. You can do that. Not that it encourages them to do that or says to do that in lieu of, the prosecutor in a criminal proceeding. But it does let them know that that is something that they have every right to do, because apparently in communities across our state, there is some confusion in that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Is there any public testimony, any appearance cards filed? No. Any debate, representatives? Debate. Yes, Representative Beltran.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, Chair, for this good bill. We didn't have a lot of debate at the last committee stop, but I do want to add, this is important that we have more awareness of this rule. We passed this constitutional amendment for victims' rights several years ago. Before that, there was actually a statutory provision that provided at least some of the protections, and I've represented many crime victims, and I've attempted to get notice of hearings and contemplated pleas, dismissals, different points in the procedural posture of the case, and the compliance has been somewhat checkered. They have not complied with it. I've had cases dismissed by state attorneys without any notice to my client or opportunity for us to provide information. The state has the prerogative to handle the criminal case as they see fit, but the victims do have rights to be to notice and to be heard as well. So I'm glad we're increasing awareness of this.
Representative Rayner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Chair Byrne, thank you so much for this bill. As with my colleague, as a criminal defense attorney, I've actually been on the other side and represented victims. And in fact, it's really interesting that you brought this bill. I have a friend of mine whose niece was brutally killed by her boyfriend in a home. His mother was there. And she now, to get any records or any information, has to file a public records request. She's representing the family, has to file a public records request and do the whole, song and dance. And, me knowing the state attorney in our area, I've kind of been able to bridge that gap, but it shouldn't take me to do that. And so I really appreciate this bill. I think that there is, to answer Representative Benjamin's question, I think that it's not necessarily about that they have the right to counsel, but if they choose to have counsel and be able to navigate this kind of system that a lot of people don't know. They don't know how to navigate it. Heck, there's some lawyers that don't know how to navigate it. That is important that they are aware of that. So I appreciate this bill. I'm definitely up on it. And thank you so much for bringing this good bill to us.
Rep. Gregory.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Byrd, for this bill. I'm not surprised to hear that you're working it with Senator Burgess and that he brought this experience from the military. I can tell you it's going to pay big dividends. The more that the victims are notified of their rights, and this right in particular, to have a counsel there with them side by side through the process is so critical. And I can tell you from the prosecution side, one of the things that alarmed me when you're going through trial, if you think for sexual assault cases, for example, usually and tragically and unfortunately, a sexual assault victim, by the time you actually get to the trial, they've had to share their story 17 times. And what happens through that process, if they're not represented, is they can be taken advantage of again, and they can create inconsistencies in their stories, which will, of course, be used against them. So there's all kinds of positive benefits that we're not even thinking of that will come from them being represented by an attorney. And just handing out the information so that they're aware of their rights goes a long way. Frankly, I'd love to see in a future year for us to add some money and really provide attorneys for victims of certain crimes. But great bill. Happy to support you.
Rep. Burton, you're recognized to close on HB 697.
Thank you, Chair. And I really thought this was going to be a little bit quicker than it's turned out to be. But I want to thank you all. I want to thank all of you, Representative Benjamin, for your questions and for the three of you who debated, because I can tell you I am actually more supportive of my own bill now. But I'm actually as I said, I am not an attorney. And although I could see the value in doing this, it's just certainly why I filed the bill. I love this process. I appreciate input from each and every one of you for your questions, or for those of you who debated today as well. So I hope I have unanimous support for this bill in this committee. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Rep. Byrne. Having closed on the bill, Michelle, will you please call the roll?
Chair Plankin. Vice Chair Fernandez-Barkin.
Yes.
Ranking Member Gottlieb.
Yes.
Representative Barnaby. Beltran.
Yes.
Benjamin.
Yes.
Byrd.
Yes.
Caruso.
Yes.
Davis. Fabricio.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Gregory.
Yes.
Coster.
Yes.
Learned.
Yes.
Rayner.
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, the bill is reported favorably.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, committee.
Representative Garrison, you are recognized to explain CS for HB 287.
Thank you, Chair. Members, CS for HB 27 increases the potential penalties for individuals who tamper with or fabricate evidence in investigations or trials involving capital crimes by making that offense a second-degree of felony instead of a third. It's similar to a bill which unanimously passed this committee last year and will bring our tampering with evidence statute into alignment with our state's existing perjury statute. It also closes a longstanding loophole in the criminal punishment code. Mr. Chair, that is the bill.
Are there any amendments, Representative?
No, sir.
Members, any questions? Rep. Benjamin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this longstanding loophole that you referred to, what are we talking about?
Sure.
You're recognized, Rep.
Thank you, Chair. In Florida, if you commit perjury in an investigation, capital offense, it's a second-degree felony and not a third. We've had a longstanding understanding that in capital cases, such as first-degree murder where the death penalty is at stake or with capital sexual battery, talking about sexual battery of a child, that lying under oath is, in that particular instance, is the potential for harm is much greater. And so what this will do is bring this alignment with that. So if you destroy evidence, it'll be the functional equivalent as if you're lying about evidence. Now, bottom line is we want to make sure in our capital cases, above all else, that decisions are being made on truth.
Rep. Benjamin, with the follow-up.
So it's my understanding, so we've had the increase in the penalty for perjury for a while now. Do we know, has this decreased the event of perjury and capital offenses?
Rep, you're recognized.
I don't think we can say objectively whether it does or doesn't. In my experience as a lawyer, both as a prosecutor and also done defense work, I can tell you that, you know, when you sit before a deposition or you're doing sort of work, and you always give a description of what, here's what the risk is if you don't tell the truth. It gets your attention a little bit more if it's a second degree versus a third. And I think the same holds true for folks who would otherwise fabricate evidence.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rep. Rep. Rayner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks, Rep. Garrison, for this bill. You know, obviously, my background is as a public defender and a criminal defense attorney. So I just want to make sure that I'm clear. And from the reading of the bill, it does this, even though that this would become a second degree felony, that the level offense on the score sheet would remain the same. Is that correct?
You're recognized, Representative.
Not to get too deep in the weeds, there's two issues here.
Okay.
There is a correction. The existing statute as it exists today has a loophole on the criminal punishment code.
Okay.
Whereby certain types of fabricating evidence are a level one as opposed to a level three. So this will bring everything into alignment as a level three. It'll be a non-state prison sanction for those who don't have any prior record. But with it being a second versus a third, obviously that will up the potential exposure in the event the circumstances warrant.
No follow-up? No. Okay. Thank you, Rep. There is no public testimony for this bill. Is there a debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Garrison, you're free to close.
Wave. Thank you, sir.
Representative Garrison, having closed on the bill, Michelle, will you please call the roll?
Chair Plankin, Vice Chair Fernandez-Barkin.
Yes.
Ranking Member Gottlieb.
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby, Beltran.
Yes.
Benjamin.
Yes.
Byrd.
Yes.
Caruso.
Yes.
Davis. Yes. Fabricio.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Koster?
Yes.
Learned?
Yes.
Rayner?
No.
12 to 1, Vice Chair.
Thank you, Michelle. Representative Garrison, by your vote, the bill is reported favorably. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
Representative Killebrew. You are recognized to explain HB 327.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative or Chair Burton, I'm not a lawyer either. I spent the night in the Holiday Inn Express the other day, so I kind of feel like I'm got to step up anyway. HB 327 is compensation. Now, this is probably a group that most of y'all won't know about because I didn't know until they brought it to me. Compensation of retired or former members of the Commission on Offender Review. Increased retired former members of the Commission on Offender Review from $100 a day to $200 a day. Responsibilities for the select, these folks are responsible for the selection of candidates who are appropriate for parole. They act as the administrative and investigative arm of the Governor and Cabinet Board of Executive Clemency. The retired commissioners were called in approximately 50 times last year. There are approximately 4 retired commissioners, and you have to be a retired commissioner to be able to be called in. The $100 that they get per day was introduced back in 1940, in the 40s. So, and there are no general appropriations tied to this because the temporary commissioners are paid out of an FCOR existing ops fund. And that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Are there any amendments?
No, sir.
All right. Seeing no amendments, members, committee members, are there any questions? Are you sure, Representative Benjamin? Okay. There is a public appearance card, a public testimony here from Mr. Timothy Carr. Mr. Carr? Wave in support. Thank you. Members, debate? Yes, Rep. Fabricio.
Representative, thank you for bringing this very good bill. It's an important issue, and we have to pass it. Thank you so much.
Any other debate? Seeing no debate. Representative Killebrew, you are recognized to close on HB 327.
Wave close, Mr. Chair.
Having closed on the bill, Michelle, will you please call the roll on the bill?
Chair Plankin, Vice Chair Fernandez-Barkin.
Yes.
Ranking Member Gottlieb.
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby, Beltran.
Yes.
Benjamin.
Yes.
Byrd.
Yes.
Caruso.
Yes.
Davis. Fabricio?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Koster?
Yes.
Learned?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Votes 13 yays, 0 nays. Vice Chair Fernandez-Birkin.
Thank you, Michelle. Rep. Killebrew, by our vote, the bill is reported favorably. Thank you so much for passing by. Thank you, sir. All right, committee members, as a reminder, we will only vote once on the agenda, on the consent agenda in its entirety. We will be in questions and debate only once. Remember, you may vote no on any particular bill by submitting a nay vote consent agenda form with Michelle prior to the vote. Please keep in mind that passing these bills makes these projects eligible for funding, but does not guarantee that these projects will be funded or funded at the requested level. With that said, are there any questions? Seeing no questions. Any appearance registrations? Yes. There are several appearance registrations here. We have Daniel Sohn on behalf of Family in Distress Incorporated, wave in support. We have Ann Salamone waving in support. We have Mr. Mark Anderson from Nassau County Board of County Commissioners. Regarding Bill 4653, waving in support. And Mr. Daniel Sohn, again, Family in Distress Incorporated, specifically supporting HB 9025, waiving in support. And when I previously mentioned him, his waive in support was in reference to HB 3229. Is there a debate? Members, any debate on these on the consent agenda? Seeing no debate, before I call the vote on the consent agenda, are there any nay vote forms? No? All right. Remember, a yes vote signifies an affirmative vote for the for every bill on the consent agenda, with the exception of any no votes on the particular bill that were just announced. Michelle, will you please call a roll on the consent agenda?
Chair Plankin, Vice Chair Fernandez-Barkin.
Yes.
Ranking Member Gottlieb.
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby, Beltran.
Yes.
Benjamin. Byrd.
Yes.
Caruso.
Yes.
Davis. Yes. Fabricio.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Gregory.
Yes.
Coster.
Yes.
Learned.
Yes.
Rayner.
Yes.
Votes 13 yays, zero nays, Vice Chair.
Thank you, Michelle. Members, the consent agenda passes. All of the bills on the consent agenda will be reported favorably. And members, thank you so much for your time and participation today. This concludes our committee agenda. Is there any further business before the committee adjourns? Seeing none, Representative Benjamin moves we rise. Without objection, the meeting is adjourned.